this morning. Amen. He was telling me this morning, now he hasn't been here 19 times, but this morning will be the 19th sermon he's preached to this church. Is that right? All right. In other words, he's been, you know, sometimes he's been here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, then sometimes just Sunday morning. But so he's preached 18 messages to us. They were all good. Amen. They were all powerful. They were all anointed. So we're glad that he's here. I was asking him some questions because I said, you know, I need to do a little more formal announcement than other than, you know, tonight at graduation, other than here's Danny, you know. But Danny's been in the ministry 48 years. Amen. Amen. That's half a century. Sounds big when you say it that way, doesn't it? 48 years. This is his 19th time he's preached here. He's a graduate of Southeast University, you know, Lakeland, Florida, very well-known Assembly of God College. And he has an honorary doctorate degree. But I tell you, he is a true prophet evangelist. Amen. Operates very strongly in both of those ministries. He has ministered the Word of God very powerfully to us over the years. And we are so excited to have him back in Cleveland, Tennessee, all the way from Virginia. What city do you live in?
Salem.
Who?
Salem.
Salem, Virginia. Pray. I have no idea where Salem, Virginia is, but I'm sure it's a lovely place. What's it near?
Roanoke.
Roanoke. Praise God. Amen. So would you stand up? Stand up, everybody. You look too comfortable. Sorry. Let's honor God and save time. Give thanks to let Danny Hunt know how much we welcome him back to the pulpit here at Cleveland, Tennessee. Reverend Danny Johnston.
Oh, thank you, Brother Mark. God bless you.
Oh, and anything, and you may not want to do anything, but anything current about your ministry or life, you just take your liberty.
Sounds good. Well, blessed be the name of the Lord. I tell you what, you look good today. Why don't you turn to somebody and say, you know, you look like you've lost some weight. Come on, tell them. Come on, just call those things that be not as though they were. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. God bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated. As I said, as Pastor said, I'm from Salem, Virginia. I'm originally from the Holy Land. Where's that? Alabama. Roll Tide. But I now live in Salem. Now, Melchizedek used to be the priest of Salem. Today, I am. But I was admiring some of the great things that's going on here, this great church, and all the refurbishing, the remodeling. And I was admiring the pulpit. How many know this is a beautiful, brand new pulpit? Yes. And several months ago, I was ministering at a church in North Carolina. And after the service, the pastor came to me. He said, Brother Danny, I said, yes, sir. He said, Brother Danny, tonight, the message you preach, I said, this was the greatest message that's ever been preached from this pulpit. I said, what? He said, I'm telling the truth. This was the greatest message that's ever been preached from this pulpit. Well, I was getting puffed up. I was getting the big head. He said, oh, by the way, it's a brand new pulpit. They delivered it yesterday. Oh, but God is good. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad I'm here. But I'm so glad above all things that the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit is with us today. Aren't you glad of that? Oh, God is so good. God is so good. Pastor Mark, Pastor Margaret, Pastor John, Pastor Sheila, I love you, saints. As Pastor said, I've been coming. This is my 19th time to preach here. And you're getting better all the time. I love you. I hope I get to live on your street in heaven. Amen. It's going to be good. How many of the past year or so has been a very different year? Do we get a witness? I'm talking about all kinds of things. Lockdown, shortages. Oh, yeah. Mask. Now, that's a dirty four-letter word. Come on out. Mask. I was telling Brother John, I was on a flight a few weeks ago, and the flight attendant said, I need your attention, please. It's mandatory, she said it again, it's mandatory that you keep your mask on at all times unless you're eating something or drinking something. I found out that bag of Doritos lasted me for 3 hours. Come on now. Oh, God is good. God is good. God is good, and his mercy endureth what? Forever and forever and forever and forever. Amen. Well, how many have your Bibles with you this morning? Why don't you just hold them up high and make the devil mad? Come on now. Just hold it up high and tick him off. And say this after me, please. Say, I'm a warrior for the Lord with my two-edged sword. I'm armed and dangerous with the Word of God. The church wants you to take it and just shake it in the devil's face. Let's try it again. I said, come on, take it and shake it. No, no, no. I said, in his face. Come on now. I mean, some of you do this number here, honey. No wonder you got problems. He is be under our feet. Amen. So try it again one more time. Just take it and shake it in the devil's face. You're catching on. Hallelujah. Would you turn with me, please, this morning? Or turn it on to the Gospel of Mark. That's a good book. Mark. Reminds me of your pastor, Mark. When I see your pastor, I'm reminded of a Bible verse that says, Mark, the perfect man. Come on now. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Woo! Mark. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Mark, chapter 4. And would you stand with me, please, one more time for the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse number 35. But before I begin to read, let me say this. At the beginning of this chapter, we find where Jesus was in the ship. It was a boat. And he had launched out from the seashore, and the multitude was gathered on the seashore listening to Jesus, our Lord, ministering the word of the Lord. He was talking about the seer, the sower that sows the word. But now drop it down to verse number 35. And the same day when the evening was come, Jesus saith unto them, unto his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, in the boat. There are also with him other little ships, other little boats. And there arose a great storm. What kind of a storm, church? Come on, say it again. A great storm. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat in the ship so that it was now full. And Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a my pillow. And they awake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I like the next three words. And he arose. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And it said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Beloved, mark it down. We are going to make it. Come on, say that, please. We are going to make it. Say it like you believe it. We are going to make it. Now tell your neighbor, say, you are going to make it. Come on now, say, you are going to make it. Now make it personal. I am going to make it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is life-giving. Your word is life-changing. Father, I believe today because of your word, we will never, ever be the same again. We thank you. Now we bless you. And all of God's people said together, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I said, we are going to make it. You see, in this hour, it's an hour of trouble and crisis for many people because many people, they've lost their faith. They've lost their faith in God and faith in his word. Why? Because fear has come against the world in this hour. And many people have surrendered to the spirit of fear. They've given in to the spirit of fear. But aren't you glad the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 that he's not given us the spirit of what? Fear. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not afraid. What is fear? Some have said that fear is F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. What is fear? Fear is the dark room where negatives are developed. But beloved, we don't have to walk in fear because the Bible tells us, I love this verse, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not afraid, for I am thy God. For I will help thee, yea, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. But you see, when fear comes, you see, fear will come like a mad dog on the loose. Fear comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But when fear comes against you and you begin to give in to fear, fear will cause you to do many things. But one thing is this, fear will cause you to forget, to forget, to forget. But the psalmist said in Psalms 103, verses 1 and 2, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Amen. I like those two words, forget not. Come on, say that, please. Forget not. And forget not all of his benefits. You see, fear calls you to forget about some of the benefits of God. And how many, because we're in Christ, we've got many, many great benefits. I'm talking about we've got the benefit that we have been born again. We've got the benefit that we're new creations in Christ Jesus. We've got the benefit that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We've got so many, many benefits. But you see, fear will cause you to forget about the benefits of God. And let me mention four benefits fear will cause you to forget about. Fear will cause you to forget about the presence of God. Fear calls you to forget about the promise of God. Fear calls you to forget about the power of God. And fear calls you to forget about the peace of God. But mark it down, we are going to make it. But notice this story here in John chapter 4, where Jesus said to his disciples, he said, let us pass over unto the other side. He didn't say, let us get halfway there and sink. He didn't say, let us get almost to the other side and go down. He didn't say, let us get almost to the shoreline and then go under. But he said what? Let us pass over unto the other side. And he's saying the same thing this hour to you, the people of God. He's saying, we are going to make it. Come on, say it, please. We are going to make it. It doesn't matter what it may look like, sound like, feel like, smell like, or taste like. I said, we are going to make it. It doesn't matter what the White House has to say, what Wall Street has to say. What matters is what God's Word has to say, and God's Word says it. It's a done deal that we are going to make it. But Jesus said, let us pass over unto the other side. And so the disciples got on board with Jesus, and they began to cross the sea in the dark of night in the evening. But all of a sudden, something happened. As they were crossing the sea in the nighttime, a great storm. Again, what kind of a storm was it?
Great.
Come on, say it again. A great storm. It doesn't say a small storm. It doesn't say a teeny storm. It doesn't say a teeny weeny storm. It says, what kind of a storm? Great storm. Now, beloved, what is a great storm? When you pull through McDonald's and you order a sweet tea and you get there, they give you an unsweet tea. I mean, that's a storm, but not a great storm. Come on now. I mean, what's a great storm? You lose your remote to the television. That's a storm, but not a great storm. But my friends, great storms will arise in life. Great storms will come. How do you know that? Because the Bible tells us the enemy, he still comes against the people of God to bring them down, down, down. But guess what? We are going to make it. And all through the Bible, we found where God's people came through storms. You can call storms by many names. You can call them attacks. You can call them battles. You can call them crisis. You can call them dilemmas. Let's just call them what? Storms. But how many of God's always brought his people out of the midst of the storms, out of the midst of great storms? You say God brought Daniel out of the lion's den. God brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace. God brought Gilligan from off the island. Come on now. I'm talking about great storms. But the Bible tells us a great storm arose and the winds begin to blow and the waves begin to beat into the ship. Now, there are two things here. What are they? Number one, they're the winds and they're the waves. Now, what's the difference? Where are the winds? What are the winds? The winds are the unseen forces. The winds are the unseen forces that come against us. What do you mean by unseen forces? I'm talking about spiritual warfare. I'm talking about demonic activity. I'm talking about the attacks from hell itself. These are the unseen forces that will come against us at times. But what about the waves of the seeing forces? How many know there's some things we can see that come against us? There's storms. I'm talking about tornadoes. I'm talking about tsunamis. I'm talking about, you know, forest fires. I'm talking about earthquakes. Earthquakes. Several years ago, I was ministering in the state of California. When I was in California, I was in 2 earthquakes in 1 week. I was in 2 earthquakes in 1 week, and I cried out. I said, "Oh, Lord, what's going on?" He said, "My son, I was saying to thee 2 things." I said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "Number one, these are the last days. And number 2, stay out of California." Come on now. But you see, great storms will arise, and great storms arose here. And the winds begin to blow. The waves begin to beat against the ship. And the Bible tells us, when that happened, Jesus was what? He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep. Do what? He was in the hinder part of the sleep on a pillow. But you say, how in the world could our Lord be asleep in the midst of a storm? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus said, "I only say what I hear my Father saying." And Jesus heard the Father saying, "You're going to pass over to the side." The Father never said, "You're going down." He didn't say, "You're going to sink." He didn't say, "You're going to drown." And guess what? The Heavenly Father is saying the same thing. You're going to make it. You're going to pass over to the side. I mean, come with me. It doesn't matter. You are going to make it. So therefore, Jesus, our Lord, he was resting in the midst of the storm. I believe with all my heart he had a word of knowledge that a storm was going to come against him. But Jesus could rest. Why? Because when you've got authority over something, you can rest in it. Come on now. But he was sound asleep. But the disciples woke him up and they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Have you ever been like that, beloved? I'm talking about all the hell that's coming against you. Problems and heartaches and troubles and trials and woes, calamity, heartaches, frustrations. Have you ever said, "Lord, what about me? Don't you care about me? Oh God, don't you see all the stuff that's coming on down upon us? Lord, the winds and the waves, don't you see it? Oh God, I got a word for you. He does care about you. And you can cast all your cares upon him," the Bible tells us. But they cried up and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" But I like those next 3 words. "And he arose." Come on, say that, please. "And he arose." You better say it one more time. "And he arose and rebuked the wind." He rebuked those unseen forces. And then he turned and he spoke to the natural forces of life, the seen forces, the waves. He said, "Peace, be still." And what happened? The Bible tells us, and there was what kind of a calm? A great calm. And he can turn your great storm into a great calm. And there's a great calm. And Jesus then said to his disciples, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they said one to another, What's going on? What manner of man is that even the winds and the waves obey him? But you see, Jesus said, why are you so what?
Fearful.
Say it again, fearful. You see, they were fearful. Fear had gripped them. But in the midst of that stormy night, guess what happened? Fear gripped them, and they forgot about a few things. They forgot about what? They forgot about the presence of God. They forgot about the promise of God. They forgot about the power of God. And they forgot about the peace of God. They forgot about, first of all, what? The presence of God. They forgot about who was on board with them in that stormy night. They forgot about who was on board with them. Who was on board with them? Let me tell you. Emmanuel, which means God with us. He was on board with them. Who was on board with them? Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is ever present. He was on board. They forgot about who was on board. Who was with them? The prophet's Messiah, the virgin-born Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. He was on board with them. Who was on board with them? The same one who said, let there be light. And there was light. The same one who knocked over the walls of Jericho and put to flight Israel's foe. He was on board with them. Don't you forget, he is on board with you. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I am with thee always, even to the ends of the world. He is with us. So when all of hell begins to come against you, it doesn't matter. He's with us. Hell rages, but you're safe in the Rock of Ages. Amen. Well, hell may come against you many ways, but guess what? You're safe in the Ancient of Days. I could keep on going. Come on now. I'm talking about it. He is with you all the way. Aren't you glad of that?
Yes.
They forgot about the presence of God. But guess what else? They forgot about the promise of God. Have you forgotten about the promise of God? What was the promise of God here? Jesus said, let us pass over unto the other side. The fear calls and forget. Have you forgotten about the promise of God? Have you forgotten about what God has spoken to you individually and what God has spoken to you collectively? Have you forgotten about what the Lord said to you before this Koran, Moron devil started knocking? I'm talking about before this Koran, Moran devil started knocking. Well, that's what I call it. People call it by many names. I mean, some people call it the coronavirus. Some call it COVID-19. Our president called it the China virus. I got a word for this China virus. It's not going to last very long. Do you know that? I know that for sure. Why? Because anything that's made in China doesn't last long. Come on now. But before this Koran, Moran devil started knocking, the Lord spoke to you and said, I'm going to turn that situation around. I'm going to save your children and save your grandchildren. I'm going to cause you to be set free from every shackle, every chain, every bond. He said, I'm going to raise you and use you mightily in the ministry. I'm going to restore your marriage. I'm going to get you out of debt. You should have shouted. Come on now. But have you forgotten about the promise of God? But you know, but fear's come against the whole world in the past year and a half. The cause of this Koran, Moran devil. And many people, they've taken the focus off the promise of God. And they put it upon the problem, upon the storm. But my friend, it's time to shake off that fear. Like Paul shook that snake off in the fire. It's time to shake off everybody just shake it off one time. Woo! Come on now. I'm talking about it's time to shake it off. Don't be afraid. But they allowed fear to grip them and they forgot about the promise of God. What about our God? Do you think our God is sitting upon heaven's throne saying, well, I know I gave them the word. I know, it was spoken over them, but what am I going to do? You think our God is sitting on the throne shaking and quaking? You think God is saying, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to pry the streets of gold? Am I going to put the pearly gates in a pawn shop? Am I going to put the angels on half ration? No, honey, because you can mark it down. If God said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, guess what? It will come to pass. How do you know that? Because God's word says, for God is not a man to what? That he should. I like that. Numbers 23:19. For God is not a man that he should lie. I like that, but I like Titus chapter 1, verse 2 better. It says, and God cannot lie. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God cannot lie? If God said it, mark it down, it's a done deal. How do you know that? Because Psalms 138, verse 2 says that he has magnified his word above his name. So, my friend, don't forget about the promise of God. What has God spoken to you? What's been prophesied over your life? Then, my friend, come hell or high water, hold on, cling to that word. Because guess what? If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, it will come to pass. But what happened? They forgot about the presence of God. They forgot about the promise of God. But guess what else? They forgot about the power of God. Those disciples in the midst of that stormy night, when that great storm was raging, they forgot about the power of God. They forgot about how Jesus, their Lord, their Master, had turned the water into wine. They forgot about how Jesus had walked upon the water. They forgot about how Jesus had cleansed the leper. They forgot about how Jesus had fed the 5,000. They forgot about how Jesus had raised the dead. They forgot about how Jesus went about doing good and healing all those that are oppressed of the devil. They forgot about the power of God. But let me ask you something, church. Have you forgotten about the power of God? I mean, he'll want you to be afraid, to shake and tremble, but have you forgotten about the power of God? Have you forgotten about how our great Lord reached down to the bottom and he picked you up out of sin and degradation, lift you up to a place in him? Have you forgotten about how he brought you out of the mire and he placed you in the choir? Come on now. Have you forgotten about how he healed your marriage and healed your body? Have you forgotten about when the bank was ready to foreclose on you, but our God made a way where seemer there was no way? Have you forgotten about all the blessings, all the promises, all the good things of our great God? Come on, have you forgotten about the power of God? But people called you to forget. But I've got a word for you: don't forget. But what else? Yes, they forgot about what? The presence of God. They forgot about the promise of God. They forgot about the power of God. But guess what else? They forgot about what? The peace of God. They forgot about everywhere Jesus went. He brought peace. He brought peace. How many, when Jesus comes on the scene for you, guess what he'll do? He'll bring peace. They forgot about who's with them. They forgot about that he was and is and always will be what? The Prince of Peace. But my friend, fear will cause you to forget. But Jesus said, but why are you so fearful? And the great storm became a great calm. And those disciples said, what matter of matters is that even the winds and the sea obey him. Let me ask this question. Who sent that storm against him that night? Does anybody know? The Lord did. Amen. Amen. The Lord. No, he did not. Who did? The devil did. The wicked one. The enemy. The defeated foe of ours. Why? He sent that storm. I like what the late John Osteen said. He says, God doesn't send the storms, but he doesn't waste them either. Come on now. In the midst of all, he'll prove himself strong and mighty to you. Yes, he will. I like what R.W. Shambaugh says. You don't have any troubles. All you need is what? Faith in God. But let me ask the question, Bible scholars. Why did the enemy, the wicked one, the thief, the devil, why did he send that storm against them? Does anybody know? Because he knew what was on the other side. He said, but what was on the other side? In chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible tells us, and they crossed over, they passed over to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. Is that right? But look at the next verse, verse 2. The Bible tells us in verse number 2, it tells us, and when Jesus was come out of the ship, immediately, everybody shout immediately. Immediately, what happened? There was a man that came out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Who was this man? It was the man with a legion of demons, the demoniac of the Gadarenes. Because as soon as they passed over, there was the man there who needed to be set free. And guess what? He was set free. And immediately after the man was set free, what happened? The woman with the issue of blood, she was healed. And immediately after that, what happened? Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. But Jesus, the enemy knew on the other side of the storm, there was one that needed deliverance. There's one that needed healing, and there's one that needed a miracle. And I've got a word for you. If you only knew was waiting for you on the beside of the storm, guess what? You would begin to rejoice right now. Come on, shout amen. Because some of you have been attacked on the right hand, the left. Your homes, your family, your marriages, your business, your careers, your ministries. I mean, this great country of ours, we have been under attack. But I got a word for you. We're going to make it. We're going to pass over. I see, oh, something great on the horizon. If you knew it was on the side, you'd begin to shout right now. Come on now. Because on the other side of the storm, there is greater victory. There's greater increase. There's greater healing. There's greater blessing. There's greater revelation. Come on, shout amen. You better get ready. You better get ready. You better get ready. I'll say it one more time. You better get ready, because you and we and us is, come on now, we are going to make it. He said we're going to pass over unto the other side. Give the Lord a shout of praise, somebody. Woo! Glory to God. Has anybody here other than me ever gone through some big storms? I'm talking about some big storms. Everybody shout big.
Big.
My brother Jim for 10 years lived in Japan. He was a contractor, government contractor. And in 1 week, my brother Jim, he was in a tsunami. Come on now. He said, thank God that's over. The next week, guess what happened? He was in an earthquake. He was on the bullet that goes 200 miles an hour of that train. And all of a sudden the train goes. He said, this isn't so good. Come on out. His boss said, Jim, why don't you go back home for a few weeks and take a vacation? So he flies home the next day here to Sweet Home, Alabama. And guess what? He's a masseuse's house. And guess what happens? A tornado comes. Come on. Whoa. And the whole place is going to shake, rattle and roll. Come on out. Well, they survived the tsunami, survived the hurricane, survived the tornado. And the next morning, he leaves and he goes to McDonald's. And the guy in front of him was saying, he turns this. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? He said, have you ever gone through anything worse than this? He said, what do you mean? He said, I ordered a sausage and, you know, biscuit, but they gave me an English muffin. Have you ever gone through worse than this? Jim said, well, yes, sir. He said, what can be? He said, I was in a tsunami, I was in a earthquake, and I was in a tornado all in 1 week. Well, that shut the guy up. Come on now. But I'm talking about, I've been through some stuff. Have you? Come on now. In my life, I've gone through hell and back, but I found out one thing. He is still faithful. He is faithful, and I'm hooked up with him. He said, and I believe what he said. I'm a believer. Come on now. I'm a believer. He said, and I choose to be. I shake off that fear, because I know one thing, that his presence is with me at all times. I know I've got his promise, and all the promises of God to him are yea and amen. And I'm not taking no for an answer. Come on now. I know he's got the power. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. And guess what? I've got a supernatural peace. Woo! That everything's going to be all right. I said everything's going to be all right. I've got some friends of mine. You probably saw a few weeks ago where there was tornadoes in Alabama. Got some friends of mine, Rusty and Nora. And they were there in the pathway of the tornado. And there was no time to get in the car to head out of town, you know. And so here they were at their home, and the tornado was coming. They was watching the map, the tornado, the path of the tornado. And they got down. But you know what? There's something that Rusty and Nora had. What did they have? They had what? The presence of God. They had the promise of God. It was going to be okay. They had the power of God in their life, and they had the peace of God. But here they were, and that tornado was coming right in the pathway. And so they said, let's go to the bathroom. They got down to the tub, the two of them, the safe place of the house. They got down, and they could literally hear the winds howling. They could hear the tornado was just coming. And they said, Lord, we know you're with us. We know you're with us, but we believe for supernatural protection for us and our home, our paradise. We plead the blood. We plead the blood. We plead the blood. Everybody shout that, please. We plead the blood. We believe there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. And they could hear the winds howling. They could hear that tornado coming down the street. They heard it. But guess what? They had the presence of God. They had the promise of God. They had the power of God, the peace of God. And they're boldly confessing, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Come on, say it. There's power in the blood. And that tornado passed over them. They waited a while, they went outside. And that tornado came down that street. It wiped off this home from its foundation. The next home from its foundation. The next home from its foundation. But when the tornado got to Rusty North's home, it jumped over their property and kept on going. They went outside to see the damage, what's going on. There was not one shingle off the roof. Not even really one leaf off the tree. But when they opened the front door and looked down the porch, a hymn and somebody got ripped out of a hymn book. It was on the front porch. They looked down, and guess what hymn it was? There's power in the blood. Come on, shout amen. Woo, hallelujah. I'm talking about, he said, and I believe it, that we are going to make it. Come on, raise your hands up high and say, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Devil, you're a liar. We belong to him. He belongs to us, and you and me and us, we're going to make it. Come on, shout amen. Oh. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody. I close with this. My first closing. I'm going to do my best not to keep you long today. I feel like saying to you the same thing that Elizabeth Taylor said to her 8th husband. She said, don't worry. I won't keep you very long. But last year was probably about maybe the middle of June, the last of June, as it were. A friend of mine is a pastor up in Pennsylvania. I'm not going to call his name, but he called me and said, Danny, I need your prayers. I said, what's going on? He said, I should have called you a few weeks ago, but I didn't. But I'm calling you now. I said, what's going on? He said, oh, hell, it's hit the fan. You ever been in a situation where you feel like that was going on with you? Oh, hell, it's hitting the fan. Problems, heartaches, troubles, and trials. Guess what, church? We're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. It doesn't matter what people say, what people think. It doesn't matter what it may look like, sound like, feel like, smell like, taste like. Guess what? We are going to make it. I said, but what's going on? He said, well, my daughter came home a few months ago. And she said, Mama, Daddy, I've got to tell you something. What's that, darling? I've been sleeping around with some of the boys in the church, and I'm pregnant. A 15-year-old pastor's daughter. I'm pregnant out of wedlock. She said her whole life was destroyed. Her future was completely devastated. About a week later, they get twin boys. One boy comes home and says, I know what sis told you, but me as well. I've been sleeping around and I found out, I was tested, I've got AIDS. I've got AIDS in my body. AIDS in my body. Well, they were devastated again. The other son comes home, and he doesn't say that, but the son comes home and he says, Mom and Daddy, I found out I don't like girls, I like boys. Decided to live a gay lifestyle. I'm talking, here they were. They're crushed. They were crushed. They were crushed. And the wife says, I can't take it anymore. I mean, she was emotionally just been, you know, tossed to and fro. She said, I'm leaving. She walks out on them. She walks out on him. I'm talking about the daughter pregnant out of wedlock. The one son, HIV, and virus, AIDS. The son turns, goes, decides to live a life of a gay lifestyle. His wife walks out, and then the church, how can you be a man of God? How can you be a man of God? Teach faith, preach faith, and look at you right now. What it's for the children, your wife gone, and the church seemingly begins to turn. But he said, you know, will you pray for me? And I said, yeah, I'll pray for you. Well, guess what? He called me about 2 months after that. He said, I got a word for you. So what for you? He said, God turned it around. I said, what happened? He said, it was a storm. How many know that wasn't just a small storm? It was what kind of a storm? A great storm. But he called me back. He says, can I tell you what happened? I said, please, by all means. He said, my daughter said, Daddy, I had a miscarriage. Now, if a man and wife, husband out there believing God for a child, we don't want a miscarriage. But for her, it was a great thing. The baby's in heaven now. She's back on track. And the son comes home and says, I was just tested again. They can't find one trace of AIDS in my body. Come on, shout amen. Then the son comes home and says, I was just seeing, I don't know what I was thinking, but I found out one thing. I like girls. Come on now. I got a word for you that are watching. I do too. Come on now. And his wife calls and says, honey, I don't know what's going on. I was just going through a storm. Honey, it's okay, I'm coming back. Guess what? She came back, and the church got behind him. The church began to grow in the midst of this thing. What are you going through, church? My God, your God, our God is able to turn it around. I said, my God, our God is able to turn it around. He's a mighty, mighty God. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Honey, you're going to make it. I just see the winds begin to blow right now against you. There's some things right now you've not told this one and this one. A lot of things you've kept personal, but God says, get ready. I'm speaking peace, be still right now to the winds and the waves that are coming against you. Amen. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You're going to make it, church. You're going to make it. Our God's a mighty God. Our God's a mighty God. Our God's a mighty God. Hallelujah. Honey, raise your hands up. Yeah, you darling, raise them up right now. I just see the healing hand of God coming on your body right now. There's a storm that's coming against you physically, but God is touching your body right now. Everybody just trade your hands to the sweet sister right now. He's touching you right now. Shapakalabasunge, baby. The Holy Ghost is touching you right now. Hallelujah. Your immune system has been healed right now. Your immune system has been healed. Hallelujah. He's speaking with your blood right now, bringing a healing. In the name of Jesus, He's a healing God. He's a healing God. He's a healing God. Can somebody shout amen?
Amen.
He's a mighty God. A mighty. Oh, yes, it's coming on, Brother John. Get ready. I just heard the word, walk by, you hear the word change, change, change. There's a shifting. There's a transition coming on. There's a change coming to your life and your ministry very soon. You've been feeling something come on for some time now. You've been feeling, it's been stirring the depths of your being. And God said, it's close, it's close, it's close, because I'm getting ready to cause you to step out in another area. I don't know what it may be. I'm not saying this or that, but God said there's a change, a shifting, a transition in your life and your ministry. So get ready, brother. It's on the way. Woo! Hallelujah. And hell would try to bring you down, but God says it's not going to happen. Hell would try to eliminate you, but God says, I'm getting ready to elevate you. Hallelujah. It's on the way. Come on, shout amen. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and give the Lord a shout of praise, somebody. Mala Shela Batala Shetela Mandala Banda Boshe Lila Shekela Bahala Basala Mahandela. Oh, how much just give me about another 5 minutes? Come on, shout amen. How much give me another 2.5 hours? Come on, shout. Not as many hands. Come on now. But I said, you are going to make it. We're going to make it. Come on, shout amen. 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 Woo! Give the Lord another shout of praise. Hallelujah. Whoa. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. I'm a young man. I'm only 69 years old. But in the last couple of years, hell's tried to come against me to bring me down. But guess what? I'm not going down. Why? Because he said, my God said, we're going to make it. We're going to pass over. Everybody shout, we're going to make it. Shout again, we're going to make it. Can I tell what happened to me, you know, December the 14th, 2019? Are you ready? There was a Saturday. Well, that Friday night, I couldn't sleep. For some reason, I couldn't sleep. Usually, I go straight to sleep. And so here was this Friday night, I couldn't sleep. Finally, somehow I dozed off about 1 o'clock in the morning. Well, 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up suddenly. Suddenly, everybody shot suddenly. I woke up suddenly, and it felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest. Now, I've been to Africa before. I've seen the elephants. I've been around elephants, but it felt like one was sitting on my chest. I said, I didn't know I brought one home with me, but it felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest, and there was my chest was pounding. And everything in my arm, shaking and quaking. And I said, ooh, that's not so good. And so I called my son. He lives with me. His bedroom's about maybe from here to wall from my bedroom. And 3 o'clock in the morning, I picked up my cell phone. I couldn't move. I called him on his cell phone. He answered the phone, which is a miracle for him to do that. He said, you know what he said? He said, hello. I said, hey, buddy. He said, Daddy. I said, you need to come and see. You come down here and see. I said, I can't, buddy, come. So he comes. Waking up. And I said, you gotta call 911. He said, why is that? I said, the devil's attacking my heart right now. So he calls 911. I said, and call your sister too. And he said, okay. So he called 911 and they came, you know, they took me away. Remember that song years ago? They come to take me away. Ha ha, they come to take me away. Well, they came, they took me away, and they took my blood pressure. It was 292 over 198. Well, that's not so good. Come on now. And, you know, and so they gave me some medication and everything. I got to the hospital. I had a heart attack, okay? And so they got me there. They got me stabilized, everything, looking good. And they came in, you know, about 3 hours later, they said, sir, you've had a massive heart attack. I said, okay. I said, well, I've got a 12 o'clock flight to go to Dallas. Can I still make that flight? They said, you better hold off on that flight, sir. I mean, it's wisdom that you kind of wait to another time. I said, well, okay, if you say so. And so here was about 8 o'clock in the morning, that Saturday morning, and my daughter tried to take my cell phone away from me, but thank God I kept it. Come on out. I mean, kind of like William Wallace said, you know, in Braveheart, you can take away our grain and take away, you know, our bread, but you take away our freedom. I would say, you can take away everything, but you can't take away my cell phone. Come on now. And then 8 o'clock that morning, I was sitting there, or laying there, brother, and the ring, 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 phone goes, you know, rings, and I look down, it's a friend of mine, David Weeder. He's Brother Copeland's, you know, bodyguard's right-hand man, his assistant, you know, armor bearer. And so David called me. I said, hello. David said, hey, what's going on? Oh, not much. He said, anything? He said, I woke up this morning several times praying for you. And I said, you did? Why is that? He said, I don't know. Anything going on? I said, well, not much. Well, I'm just praying for you, but just kind of, I said, well, I did have a heart attack a little while ago. Okay. He said, that's why I got him praying for you. And he said, well, what can I do for you? He said, I'll just keep on praying. He said, I'll tell you what, in about another 2 hours, I'm going to be with Brother Copeland. We're going to meet with about 100 international ministers around the world. And I'm going to take a prayer cloth, and I'm going to have everybody there at that meeting come and lay that prayer cloth, hold on, church, and lay their hands upon that prayer cloth. I said, okay. And so here they were that morning, and they begin to, you know, he said, I want everybody that's here to come and lay their hands upon, you know, this prayer cloth. And so here they were, where is it? Right there, hallelujah. And so had all the great men of God from around the world, women of God, like hands. That was a mighty anointing. That was Saturday. Well, Sunday morning, guess what? I got a special delivery, a package. What was it? The prayer cloth. And church, God is my witness. I pinned that thing on that hospital gown, you know, and I began to, I felt so awe. I felt the anointing of God just rocking me. Ooh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Ooh, hallelujah. I mean, how many of the anointing of God will destroy the yoke? Hallelujah. Now, how many of for me, guess what that was? A great what? Storm. But guess what I had in the depths of my heart? I had what? The presence of God. He was with me. Had a supernatural presence. Hallelujah. They gave me some medication. I was halfway knocked out. And as I'm knocked out, a nurse comes in the room, and I'm laying there, Shandelebakin, Shilabakilabatala. And she looks over at my daughter and says, is he bilingual? Yes, he is. And so Monday they go and they did a catheterization on me. And they said, sir, I said, yes, what is it? They said, but a catheterization, and you got, you know, 3 major blockages. Right now, you've got one blocked up 90%, one blocked up 90%, and one blocked up 99%. I said, is that good? They said, not so good. I said, well, what's going to happen? Well, they're in a location. He said, it's a bad location to have blockages. I said, I thought any location is bad for blockages. But it's in the very bottom part, the tip, the heart called the apex area. He said, and where the blockages are, there's no room to do any bypasses, you know, bypass surgery, there's room for that. Okay. They said, furthermore, you know, if we could do it, we can't do it because we've used 15 years ago your triple bypass surgery. We used all the available grafts and everything on you. And so there's no more we can, you know, there's no more to take out to use on you. I said, okay. I said, well, what's behind door number 3? And they said, well, it's like this. There's only one thing we can do, but, you know, we don't know if we can really do it or not. I said, what's that? You can, you don't know? He said, because normally when people have bypass surgery, the bypasses, they're all straight or maybe a slight curve to it. He said, but after all these many years, 15 years, all your bypasses settled in, they're all wavy and crooked and curvy. And he said, and we're going to have to go through those previous bypasses to put stents in there. They said, but it's going to be very dangerous. It's very challenging. It's extremely, extremely risky, but we can try it. That didn't sound so good. Come on, shout amen. I was in the storm. Guess what? The winds were blowing. And how many of the waves were definitely beating against me? Come on out. But guess what I had? I had what? I had the presence of God. He was with me. I had the promise of God. Everything's going to be all right. And I had the power of God. I had the peace of God. And they walked out of the room. They said, but we can try it. And my daughter said, Daddy, I don't like that. I said, well, I don't either. And so she Googled. Thank God for Google. Thank God for Google. She Googled, who is the best cardio surgeon on the East Coast? She popped, and her name popped up, Dr. Michael Regosta. And for the past 9 years, he'd been voted one of the top 10 cardio surgeons in America who specialize in risky heart procedures. I said, I want him. Come on now. And I was in Roanoke, Virginia. He was in Charlottesville at the UVA Medical Center, 2 hours away. I said, I want him. I want him. And so they come back in and said, well, what do you think we can do? We can go in and we can try it. I said, no, I would rather have a second opinion. I want to go to the UVA Medical Center. They said, okay, we'll call him. They called him up there, and they said, I'm sorry, we can't take him. Every bed is full. Every unit is full. It's going to be at least 2 to 3 weeks before we can take them. There's a long waiting list for people to come in here because they're that good. And he told me that. And when he told me that, guess what? The Lord told me something different. He says, son, just watch this. I got this. I got this. And about an hour later, he came back in and says, the UVA Medical Center called me, and they have an opening. I said, what about all the people in the waiting list? Well, some of you may remember at that time, there was a major snowstorm up, you know, the Carolinas, up Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, etc. And the whole, all the states were closed in because of the snow. But guess what? There was one strip of land, one strip that had no snow. That was between Roanoke, Virginia, and Charlottesville, the 120, and there was no snow whatsoever. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! They took me up there, and I said, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you. They got me up there on a Wednesday night, and there's numerous cardio surgeons, and I said, Lord, who's it going to be? Well, the next morning, some man walks in. He said, good morning. I'm Dr. Michael Regosta. Woo! I'm talking about the best of the best of the best. He said, I've already seen your catheterization footage. He said, and those bypasses are definitely wavy and crooked and curvy. He said, but I got this. Don't worry. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I mean, the man was oozing with confidence, oozing with faith. I felt good. Come on, shout. Yeah. Hallelujah. Woo. And so he said, we got a long, long day, but I'll get you in sometime today, sometime tonight. And so that night, they wheeled me back there. But I had a supernatural peace, Brother John. I'm talking the winds were blowing. Can you hear them now? Can you, the waves are beating against me. He'll say, you're going down, you're going down. But I just began to laugh. Woo-hoo. I just got a Mark Hankins coming on me. I said, ha, 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 ha. I said, devil, you're a liar, you're a liar. I said, no way. And I said, Lord, I'm going to make it. He says, son, you're going to make it. Are you ready for this? He says, son, you're going to make it. I said, yes, Lord. He said, because you haven't gone to Alaska yet. Everybody said Alaska?
Alaska.
Now, why is that? Because years ago, I preached in 49 of the 50 states. Now, after I preached in the 49th state, I said, Lord, I've got a personal desire. I would love to preach in all 50 states before the rapture of the church. The Lord says, son, before the church is caught away, you will preach in Alaska. Well, guess what I got about 2 weeks ago? An invitation to preach in Alaska. You better get ready. Jesus is coming. Come on now. I'm going to pack my bags for Alaska and for heaven, too. Come on out. But I was in the hospital, and you know, the hell was saying, you're going down, down, down. You're not going to make it. But God said, you're going to make it because you haven't preached in Alaska yet. Come on out. And they wheeled me back that night, you know, and they got a happy, I mean, got you medicated real good, you know. Good drugs, come on out. And I don't know how long I was, you know, knocked out as it were. Kind of semi-knocked out. Was it 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, 2 or 3? I don't know. But finally, they began to move all the equipment back, move all the equipment back. And one little lady, she said, well, they got you finished. Everything's all right. And I said, good, good. And I said, could I speak to Dr. Regosta? I'm sorry, sir, he's already gone. I said, is there any way you can ask him to come back? Well, I'll see if I can catch him, but I don't know. He comes back. He says, what can I do for you, young man? I'm about 20 years older than he is. I said, I just want to thank you for your expertise. He says, well, I'm just doing my job. He said, but young man, there's one thing I cannot figure out. I said, what's that? He said, I saw the video footage of that catheterization, not once but twice, and all the bypass were waving crooked, you know, and curvy. He says, but when I went in, they're all straight as an arrow. Come on. He said, that man upstairs must like you. I said, he does. I'm his favorite. Come on now. He said, well, you've gone through a lot. You're going to probably be here another 4 or 5 days to recuperate. And he says, but it's going to be fine. Well, guess what? This morning, I'm an early riser. 3 o'clock comes early every morning. It does. It does. I don't get up at 3, but 3 o'clock does come early. Come on. But I got up early this morning. I got out of bed. I began to walk around. And the nurse said, what are you doing getting out of bed? Well, I just went exit, walked around. Well, don't you feel bad? No. Don't you feel weak? No. Don't you feel tired? No. You don't know. And she said, let me check your vitals. She said, my God, they're perfect. My God. And she checked my blood pressure. She said, your blood pressure is 120 over 60. And that's a lot better than it was, you know, before. Come on now. And they checked me out. The doctor came in. He said, I tell you what, if you're this good, by noontime, you can go home. Guess what? I was and went home. Come on, shout in.
Glory. Yeah.
Woo, glory. Hallelujah. He said, you'll be off the road a few months. Guess what? I missed that following Sunday because it was December the 22nd, Christmas Sunday. But guess what I did the next Sunday? I preached. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, your God has said to you today in this hour, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. How many of you young people, you plan to go to college soon? Let me see hands. Okay. There's, God bless you. You're going to make it. West Palm, Florida. That's biblical. Come on now. Ooh, especially in the wintertime. Acts 8, verse 26 says, arise and go toward the south. Come on now. But God's going to make a way. Everything you need, God's going to take care of you.
Thank you, Jesus.
God's going to supernaturally, big time, make a way for you. Not just that, but the other seniors who'll be graduating, God's going to make a way. Let me ask you a question. We're going to pray right now. Get ready. You're going to pass over. Get ready. You're going to pass over, darling. Get ready. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Just begin to play in the key of H. Hallelujah. Key of H. That's for hallelujah. That's for Holy Ghost. That's for He'll make a way. Don't you love the Lord? Don't you love the Lord, church?
Yes.
Let me ask you a question before. Would you stand, please? Would you stand? Would you stand? Hallelujah. 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 I know the last 10, 15 years, there's been attacks against this body. I know this church, this great church, Cleveland Christian Fellowship, you've gone through some storms. People lied about you, people mocked you, people ridiculed you, people have left here and there. But I say this, Cleveland Christian Fellowship, Jesus said we're passing over. And I can see the other side already right now, Brother John. I can see the other side was ahead for this great church. You're about ready to see some breakthroughs like you've never known before. You're about ready to see some increase at this church like you've never known before. Are you ready? Are you ready? Come on, let me see your hands if you're ready. Come on now. Yes, I know hell was raging and roaring against people, especially 2020. I don't cuss. But if I did cuss, I would have a new cuss word. It'd be, 2020. Come on now. Yeah, it was rough for some people. Can I say this? 2020. Was the best year I've ever had financially. Come on now. It was the very best by far. Well, because in the midst of it all, John Osteen says, God doesn't send the storms, but He doesn't waste them either. And I believe some of you are going through some rough times right now. Maybe yourself, your home, your family, your children, your grandchildren, your business. I know friends of mine, they've lost their business. Others have been downsized. They've lost part of the income. But aren't you glad that our God is still faithful and true? Our God is faithful and true. I got it. So I'm going to pray for you right now. Everybody that's here, and you have gone through a storm in the past year, year and a half. Maybe you're going through a storm right now with your marriage, physically, emotionally, whatever it may be. Maybe your children are going through some storms. Maybe your grandchildren, your loved ones, your business, your career. And you want the Lord to speak peace, be still, and that you raise your hands up right now. Put them up, church. Put them up high, because God's about ready. God's about ready. God's about ready. Father God, I thank you right now that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, Father, what you've done for
others you'll do for these that are here today. And I believe, Father God, you're going to turn it around. You're going to turn it around in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that the winds may blow, the waves may beat against them in life. But God, we can hang on to your word. Your word says that we're going to pass over. We're going to make it in Jesus' name. Can somebody shout amen?
Amen.
I want to pray for some of you right now. Sickness, disease will come. I was attacked, you know. Yes, God touched my heart. I went back to my car last about 6 months ago. He said to me, he said, Danny, he said, your heart, because you ran several times, he said, your heart is as strong as a 16-year-old now. I said, okay. He said, but I got to tell you something. So I said, we're friends. Yes, sir. We've been friends for many years. I said, yes, sir. He said, can I be honest with you? I said, yes, sir, Dr. Austin. He said, Danny, you're fat. Well, I've lost 40 pounds in the last 5 months, by the way. He said, Danny, you're fat. I said, I want a second opinion. He said, okay, you're ugly too. He didn't say that. But God touched me. My God is a mighty God. My God is a mighty God. I was telling Pastors Mark and Margaret, my sweetheart. My wife, she got promoted to heaven 11 years ago, and I've dated some nice girls. I mean, nice girls, beautiful girls, gorgeous girls. I don't smoke, drink, dip, chew, cuss, gamble, or chase ugly women. Come on now. But God said, no. Well, 5 months ago, I got reconnected to my best friend in college. Her husband passed away, and guess what? Woo, hallelujah, yes. I'm going down to see her again. Hallelujah. Tuesday. She lives in the Holy Land, Alabama. But God healed her. You think you got it right? I think I got it right. She was attacked with 5 major diseases when she was 24 years old. 5 major diseases in her body at one time. The doctor said she'll die. She'll die any moment, any time. She was attacked, first of all, with lupus. Without Jesus, lupus is incurable. She was attacked with complete kidney failure, complete shutdown. Then she had double pneumonia and fluid building up out of her body. Other things. My God, it's getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, one time she died, but God brought her back to life. Another time she was bedridden for almost 2 years, weaving in and out of a coma. And then she was attacked with shingles. They said the worst case of shingles ever recorded in the state of Florida. It was so bad, she would die from this. She would die. Shingles, large blisters all over. They said she'd be scarred the rest of her life. She doesn't have one scar on her body. It was getting worse. They called the family many times because of the lupus, because of the double pneumonia, fluids come out, complete kidney failure. Shingles in her body. Getting worse. They said she would die any moment. And then a flesh-eating virus attacked her body, attacked her throat, her esophagus. She's down to nothing, about 70 pounds with tiny skin and bones. The doctor said she'll die. The flesh-eating virus was attacking her throat and vocal cords. Then it says like raw, you know, hamburger meat. And it's attacking her vocal cords. They said, we got to remove your vocal cords or you'll die. She said, you cannot remove. I've been called to sing for the glory of God and to speak his word, or you will die. Well, guess what? The vocal cords was completely eaten away by the flesh-eating virus. She went back to a coma. It was eating away her throat, her esophagus. They told the family, you better come in. She'll be dead before the hour's up. At the very most, she'll be dead before the morning comes. The family comes in. You can go in 2 by 2. She's got to wear gowns, rubber gloves up to here. Face mask, face shield. You can't get close to her because the flesh-eating virus all around. It can jump on you, and by all means, you can't touch her. They go in. All her brothers and sisters. She's got 8 brothers, 2 sisters, a big family. First one to go was her sister, and Bonnie. And Bonnie's husband's a pastor. They go in, and his name is Danny. That's a great name. He says, we're not going to look at the machines. We're going to look at the tubes. We're going to look to Jesus. We go in there. And her sister said, when the guy said, we don't care what that doctor said. We'll lay hands on my sis. They lay hands. We command this body to line up to the word of God. it eaten away her vocal cords. She had shingles, the lupus, everything. We command this body to line up to the Word of God. And all of a sudden, she sits up out of bed, comes out of the coma, starts speaking in tongues so loud they heard her at the far end hallway. People started coming in. What's going on? What's going on? The doctor comes in. What's she doing? What's she doing? She's praising God. She can't praise God. She has no vocal cords. She can't talk. I don't care what she can't do, but she's doing it. She's praising God. He looks down her throat and sees the throat, the esophagus. It was clean. It was healed like a baby's bottom, not a scar. And he begins to cry. He says, I don't know what's going on, but she's got new vocal cords. I'm talking about, honey, that's a healing. Come on, that's a healing. That's a healing. Whatever it may be, maybe asthma, could be arthritis, bursitis, tendonitis. Could be scoliosis, fibromyalgia. I don't know what it may be, problems with the bones, the blood, the bladder. But I found out one thing, that my God is a healing God. Do you believe that? Amen. If you need to receive healing in your body right now, raise your hands up right now. God, I believe the same God that healed my precious Elizabeth Ann is going to heal you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing right now. I command everybody here right now in the name of Jesus to be healed. I come against all sickness. I come against all disease. I come against all pain, all infirmity, all malady, all malfunction right now, all inflammation in the body from the top of the head to the soles of the tip of the toes. In Jesus' name, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed. Tony, be healed, be healed. Be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed in Jesus' name. Can somebody shout amen? Can somebody shout amen?
Yes, yes, yes.
Give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! One more time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Oh, God is so good. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, raise your hands, please. Raise them up high. That's everybody with the keyboard player. Okay. All right. Okay. You may be seated for a moment. I didn't preach a salvation message of I'm an evangelist. But I came with a word today saying you're going to make it. How many of you believe you're going to make it? And I speak over you, Brother Mark. You're going to start seeing a greater degree of the revelation of God concerning things of the Spirit like never before. You are a great preacher, a great teacher, a man of the Word. And God has used you, and God's going to use you continually as you teach and preach the Word. But God says, my son, I'm about ready to cause you to move into greater realms of the Spirit like never before. You've been used here, you've been used there, saith the Lord. But God said, get ready, my son. You're about to move into greater realms, greater dimensions of the gifts of the Holy Spirit like never before. Because in this hour, these closing hours of time, people need more than just a little bit here, a little bit there. They need the supernatural. And God's going to raise you up, my brother, to move in a greater way, a greater dimension of the Spirit. So get ready, get ready. You're going to start seeing a shifting. You're going to see a turning into this realm in the next few days. So get ready. It's on the way. You've been crying out for it, brother. You've been crying out for it. I mean, for a long time, but especially there's been a greater stirring of late. Oh, God. So God said, get ready, my son. It's on the way. Come on, shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, normally, I have people come to the front to pray for them there, but I said, Lord, what? He said, no, just pray for you where you were, and God's going to turn it for you. He's the God of the great turnaround. Amen.
Amen.
The first time I went out of the country on a missions trip was in 1974. I went to the Dominican Republic. I went there for 2 weeks and stayed for 10 months. God changed my plans. Has ever changed your plans? Come on now. And I've gone out of the country many, many times over the years. I would say probably, I don't know, maybe 200 mission trips over the years. And we've got things planned right now on the agenda. Nicaragua just opened back up. We plan to go to Nicaragua. We plan to go back to Haiti. I've been there many, many times. Plan to go back to India. We're talking about going to Pakistan we'd be going, why don't go to places like, you know, Port-au-Prince, Haiti, Calcutta, India, Managua, Nicaragua? I don't go there to vacation. I don't go there to sightsee, because beyond these walls, church, there's a world that's doomed and damned going to hell. How many of those, they need Jesus? Let me share this very quickly before I turn it back to your pastor. A couple years ago, I was planning to go on a missions trip. I've always gone on a missions trip somewhere. But we're raising the money, the budget to go on the trip, and I was $7,000 short. On the way to the airport, I stopped by the post office, and there was an envelope there from a friend of mine in Texas, a businessman. Opened up, and there's a check for $1,000. I said, praise the Lord. I'll apply that to the missions trip. I said, Lord, now I need $6,000. So on the way to the airport from the post office, I was driving by my bank. The Lord says, son, I want you to stop and get that check cashed. I said, Lord, why? He said, I just felt this stirring. I don't know why. I'm getting it cashed. So I stopped by Wells Fargo and got the check cashed. They said, how do you want it? I said, well, give me 10 $100 bills. I said, okay. So I go from there to the church up in New England. Next morning, I was ministering. Toward the end of the service, the Lord said to me, son, I want you to have every single mom in the sanctuary. I want you to come up here for prayer. I said, okay. I said, I want every single mom that's here, come up right, I want to pray for you. Because sometimes, how many single moms can have it rough at times? Rough and tough. Well, the single moms came to the front. And I said, Lord, what should I do? He said, I want you to give them each a $100 bill. Guess how many single moms were there? 10. I said, Lord, I need this. I need it for my missions trip. He says, son, if you bless me, he said, if you'll obey me, I'll bless you. I said, but God. I said, can I give them each $10, $20? He said, give them each a $100 bill. And so I gave them each a $100 bill, and I blessed them. Well, as the service was over, standing toward the back, a man comes over. He said, Brother Dan, I said, yes, sir. He said, I saw what you did. Now, I didn't do that to be seen of men, but I did it in obedience to God. But it just so happened people saw me, because that's the way it worked out. He said, I saw what you did, and when God had you do that, God spoke to me. I said, okay. He said, here, I want to bless you. He reaches his pocket, pulls out a check. You know, some people are super spiritual. They'll put it in their pocket, look at it later. Not me. I look at it right then and there. Make sure they sign it. Come on now. He said, what God told me, to give you a check 7 times more than what you just gave out. So what is that? $7,000. Guess what? That met the budget. Come on, shout amen. Woo! Hallelujah. As I walked away, that day the Lord says, son, if you'll always obey me, I will bless you. I will bless you. He's proved himself strong and stronger. In 1987, I was in debt. So far in debt, but I began to obey God in my giving, and in 7 months, God got us supernaturally out of debt. In a moment, your pastor will come to give you an opportunity to help us to go from coast to coast around the world. But as God spoke to me that day to give, I gave. God bless me. I don't know what God would have you do, but if you'll obey God, I know this one thing: God will bless you. God had us obey him in 1987 concerning different things, and God got us out of debt. Who knows? This could be the seed for you to have a debt-free harvest. I don't know, but I know one thing. Whatever you do, if you obey him, he will bless your life. And I say, thank you. I love you. I bless you. Amen. Pastor, would you come? God bless you, church.
Amen. Amen. Well, if you need an envelope for your giving, we'll take up an offering for Brother Danny, right now, all of this goes strictly to him. Lift your hands higher. Again, there's envelopes in front of you, I think. If you need one, grab one. Praise God. And you can't say it any better than Danny just said it. Just obey God. Amen. Of course, you don't have to have a word of God to obey God, because the word of God already told us that if we would sow bountifully, we would reap bountifully. And then, as always, if the Holy Spirit specifically tells you to do something, boy, those can be kind of challenging times. But those are exciting times, because I don't know, the harvest on that is just always kind of, so yeah, supernatural. Praise God. Amen. This, your, she's a minister and your lady friend, all that stuff you went through, because you were telling me that story in detail last night at supper. She was like, how old when that happened?
24.
Got rid of all of that stuff. And I think she's just in her young 60s now. And Danny said, yeah, she looks like she's 43, but Danny said, and since that time, she's, other than a sniffle, she hadn't had anything wrong in her body. Glory to God. Can you thank God for that? Amen. Everybody got an envelope? Everybody ready to give? Make out a check. Make it to Cleveland Christian Fellowship. We'll in turn write one check. And of course, we will not take up an offering tonight. So, you know, you take care of this today. Because it will be the school graduation. What time does it start tonight? 6 o'clock. Who's going to be preaching tonight? Amen. Praise God. And we're going to have other things. We're going to have valedictorians, and we're going to have Miss Sheila emceeing the program. We're going to have some young people sing, and we're going to have a little praise and worship with a different band doing that. This band. Well, they're young. Praise God. This young people's band right here. You're young. Yeah. Glory to God. All right, everybody ready to give? Praise God. Let's release our faith. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this. You know how to give online. I should have said all that. John's much better at this, but you know the drill. Praise God. And you can drop down and switch to the left and toggle to the right or whatever and give specifically to Danny Johnston. And praise God. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the good word of God we have heard this morning. Praise God. We have your promise. Whatever it is, that is our other side. And nothing can keep us going for the other side, because we believe you and we trust you and we refuse to operate in fear in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. So we sow into Danny Johnston's ministry this morning. We do it willingly. We do it joyfully. And we do it what's generous for us, Father. And we thank you that as we do, it goes to bless him, to help him, as he said, go coast to coast and around the world. Glory to God. And we release our faith. We do it with the right motives, with the right heart, because we love you and obedience to you. But we also do it in faith. And we believe that as we sow bountifully, we shall also reap bountifully. And we thank you for that harvest right now, in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Go ahead, gentlemen. Amen. Let's all stand together. Praise God. We were glad you were with us online. We love you so very, very much. Praise God. Amen. Anything we can do for you, please let us know. Glory to God. Tonight at 6 o'clock, graduation. We love you. We'll see you then. You're dismissed. Thank you, Jesus.